No intro video for you this morning, because the message that you get isn't the message you were supposed to get, but it's the message you're going to get. Yesterday morning, I received a phone call from Don Wettstein, who was supposed to be here this morning, and he is very, very sick and had to cancel on us for this morning. So you're stuck with me. happy Sunday after Thanksgiving. Did y'all have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Good. The last several years, a portion of our family Thanksgiving meal has been provided by a local... By the way, thank you, Heather, for being here with us this morning. She was playing piano this morning while Haley played guitar. Heather comes to us from Kentucky. What part of Kentucky?
Way west.
Way west. Okay, my grandparents live southeast. So you and I talked about this, didn't we, Haley, about opposite sides of the state? So anyway, welcome. She comes to us from Kentucky by way of Taylor University, by way of Kansas. So she came to Taylor University from Kentucky, met Haley, went to Kansas with Haley for Thanksgiving, and came back here to be with us today. So thank you for traveling all that way just to be with us here today. So the last several years, a portion of our meal has come from a local catering company in Greenwood. And the main reason for that is an effort to try to simplify things and make the workload easier on everyone, specifically probably my mom. We would then supplement what we didn't get from the catering company with the things that we wanted in our family Thanksgiving. This year, for a variety of reasons, we rearranged our menu and realized that we probably didn't need the catering company at all. And so we took the opportunity to plan our family Thanksgiving meal around the things that we wanted. And then Denise did the lion's share of the work and the prep and the cooking and all of that. She got some help from Danielle on Wednesday while I worked. And then she got help from me on Thursday morning, and David took the tablecloths. In fairness to him, he's been away at college. He came home and he worked while he was home and stuff like that. It's not that he doesn't ever want to help with things and all that. So this year, as we planned the menu, We planned the menu around the things that we're used to having at Thanksgiving and the things that we wanted to have at Thanksgiving. And rather than just picking random sides from a catering company that burnt most of the stuff and you had to scrape a third of it off and then throw the rest away and all that, we picked the things that we wanted from our family Thanksgivings. And what became very, very important in some of those menu items was that they were our family recipes that was used to make them. Those things could have been cooked a number of different ways, but what was important to us was that they be our family recipes that were used to cook the meal. Anybody else have that thing going on in your family? That if it's not cooked or made according to your family recipe, it just isn't the same? So... around Thanksgiving, it's easy to focus on being thankful. But being thankful isn't just a Thanksgiving thing. It's possible to be thankful year round. And fortunately, if it's possible and better to be thankful year round, fortunately, the early church leader Paul gave us a recipe for being thankful year round. If it would be understandable for anybody to have reasons to not be thankful, it would be understandable for the early church leader Paul. He encountered and experienced a lot of what we might call Thanksgiving challenging circumstances. So let's look at his resume of Thanksgiving challenges. He was arrested multiple times. That it's unclear exactly how many times he was arrested. And usually when he was arrested, He was arrested unjustly and accused unjustly. He was imprisoned 1 to 2 times. He was beaten by government authorities at least 3 times. He was whipped at least 195 times. Go ahead and go to the next slide. He was stoned 1 time. That's not like the good kind of stoned. That's like literally having rocks thrown at you to try to put you to death. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was snake bitten 1 time. He was left for dead multiple times and thought to be dead multiple times. So if there's anybody who we might understand would have a little bit less motivation to be thankful, Paul would be your guy. It would be understandable if he was a little bit more grumpy than thankful. But in the midst of all of that, Paul discovered ways to be thankful. And he provides a recipe for being thankful. In his letters, he wrote about being thankful a lot. In fact, if you look at his writings, he uses the word for thanks 24 times. If you add in a time that he used that same word in something he told a bunch of sailors on a ship who was getting ready to be shipwrecked, by the way, it's 25 times. The word for thank he uses 11 times. Thanksgiving he uses 7 times. Thanksgivings he uses 1 time. Thankful he uses 2 times. Thanked he uses 2 times. And thankfulness he uses 1 time. That's a total of 49 times in his letters that he uses the words for thank, thankful, thanksgiving, and that type of stuff. That doesn't even include the number of times that he writes about being an encouragement or being joyful or being grateful. Those are just specific references to being thankful. And if we track what he writes, and if we drill down into one part of a letter that he wrote to the first century church at Thessalonica, we find what we will call a thanksgiving recipe. And so he writes to the first century church at Thessalonica, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Paul tells us right here that God wants us to be thankful. That's what God desires for us. That part of being in relationship with Jesus, part of following Jesus, means being thankful. And notice that he says to be thankful in all circumstances. He doesn't say to be thankful for all circumstances. He says to be thankful in all circumstances. And there's a huge difference between the two. My prayer before our Thanksgiving meal this year was simply thanking God for another year in which we have much to be thankful for, but also for the ability to be thankful even in the things that happened in the last year for which we were not thankful. We don't have to be thankful for everything, but God's will for us is to be thankful in all circumstances. My guess is that just like Paul, there are some of us at different seasons in life who have experienced Thanksgiving challenging circumstances. Things that didn't work out the way we expected them to. Things that didn't work out as we hoped for them to. But when we find a way to be thankful in all circumstances, it's almost as Thanksgiving, not the holiday, but the pattern of life of being thankful, includes an element of hope in what we believe and in what could be and maybe should be and maybe might be. Paul says, be thankful in all circumstances. If being thankful in all circumstances is the dish, what's the recipe? What's the ingredient? What are the ingredients that we can mix together, that we can add and mix together to be thankful in all circumstances? Well, as Paul led into this verse, he gives us some elements that I think become the recipe, become the ingredients for how to be thankful in all circumstances. He says, and live peacefully with each other. Now, the idea of living at peace with, how many college football fans are there? How many watched some of Rivalry Week yesterday? How many watched Ohio State and Michigan? How many watched Florida and Florida State? How many saw or saw anything about them? How many saw or watched Arizona and Arizona State? All three. How many watched IU and Purdue? That was interesting, wasn't it? We were out to dinner with David's bowling coach from college. Actually, he was in town and texted and said, "Hey, you guys want to meet for dinner?" So we met with him. By the time we got home and I turned on the game, it was 35-0. And I told Denise, I kept watching it. It's 49-0. I keep watching it. And we started talking about watching something else. I'm like, this is like a train wreck. You know, you're supposed to look away, but you keep watching it to see how bad it's going to get. I'm an IU fan, by the way. So those other three games that I referenced, each one of them ended in like a game-ending brawl because a player from one of the rivalry teams who had defeated the other, on their own turf, by the way, went to plant a flag in the center of the field, and peace was disrupted. It became utter chaos in the Arizona State and Arizona game. They didn't try to plant a flag in the middle. They tried to plant a fork near the end zone because the Arizona State or the Arizona Sun Devils and their little mascot dude carries a fork. And so they tried to put the pitchfork in. So that's the difference in that one. Just want to make sure I'm accurate in what I tell you. So anyway, the peace was disrupted. And in those moments, I sit back and I think, you know, isn't that some type of indicative of what our world is like? That it seems like living at peace is more of a far-fetched idea. That our world and our relationships, it's very difficult to find ways to live at peace. But part of the recipe of being thankful is living at peace with each other. The word that's used for peace there, it isn't just circumstantial, though. It's a heart-level peace that's experienced by being thankful. It's almost like being thankful requires peace because oftentimes the lens that we view our world through is the lens of us. You know, has anybody ever noticed that the lens that you view the world through tends to be about you? And you recognize that there are other people around you, but typically those other people around you become either a means to what you want, a support for what you want, or an obstacle to what you want. And when they're a means to and a support for what you want, we live at peace with other people. But when other people are an obstacle to what we want, we tend to not live at peace with other people because the lens that we see things through is about us. And when we're able to become thankful in all circumstances, we see people and circumstances differently. And when we see them differently, it requires peace. Have anybody ever noticed how people who live in constant turmoil and conflict tend to be less thankful people? While people who live in peace with others tend to be more thankful? So it's almost like being thankful requires peace. But peace leads to being thankful. Does that make sense? It requires peace, but it leads to peace at the same time. And being thankful is the umbrella. Paul then goes on to say, to add another ingredient into the recipe. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Now, the people that Paul's talking about here are people who had the ability to work, but refused to. They chose not to work. Specifically in the context of 1 Thessalonians, it was because they expected Jesus to return soon. And as a result of Jesus' imminent return that they believed in, they didn't think they needed to work. They just figured they would let everybody else take care of them. And Paul challenged them and warned the people who were lazy. You have the ability to work. Don't just sit back and do nothing and rely on other people to meet your needs. And so he says to them, warn them. But did you know that it's possible to warn people about things in a way that's actually encouraging? Did you know that most people receive warnings that we provide that are encouraging better than they receive them when the warnings we give are judgmental and condemnational? Anybody ever notice that? And Paul says to warn them, but he says it in the context of being thankful and being encouraging. And then he goes on to say, encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. The Thanksgiving recipe ingredient here is encouragement. And my guess is that there's a time in all of our lives where we've needed to be encouraged in circumstances. And my guess is there's times where we needed encouragement and didn't receive it. And when we didn't receive it, we wound up and focused more on our circumstances and less on our thankfulness. And then my guess there are times where each of us needed encouragement and and we received it. And when we received it, not only were we thankful for the encouragement, but we were able to be more thankful in our circumstances. When Paul says to take care of those who are timid, to encourage those who are timid and take care of those who are weak, the kind of people he's talking about are those that are dispirited, those who are discouraged, those who are disheartened. And when we are able to be thankful in all things, we are able to go to the dispirited, the discouraged, and the disheartened. And we are able to encourage them because we know that they have the ability to take heart in the midst of whatever is disheartening them. Paul's not quite done yet. And this is our favorite one. He says, be patient with everyone. To which we say, Paul, you're out of your mind. Don't you know that there are people it is absolutely impossible to be patient with? How many of you have ever said, I can't help it. I'm just not a patient person. Wow, no takers on that one. You'll admit to watching Rivalry Week on football, but you won't admit to being impatient. How many people have ever prayed that God would give them patience? Right now. How many people have ever refused to pray to God to give them patience because they know He will? Through what we might call Thanksgiving challenging circumstances. And so we avoid the circumstances so we don't ask for the patience. The word that's used for patient here means a slowness to anger or a patient endurance. The kind of patience that Paul writes about here is not just a momentary decision. It is a pattern of decision in the moments. It's not about a one time I exhibited patience. It's about becoming a patient person. And patience is required to be thankful in all circumstances. When we know that it is a patient endurance, we have a hope and a belief that the less than desirable circumstances will draw to a close at some point. It may not be as soon as we hope. It may not be as soon as we want. It may not be as soon as we prefer. But there will come a time where we believe and hope that the circumstances will draw to a close, and so we can be patient with thankfulness in all circumstances. Paul's not quite done yet. He said, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. To do good means to be kind and generous and to look out for the common good and best interests of others. To do good starts with wanting good for others. And when we want good for others, we then find a way to do good for others. My guess is that each and every one of us has experienced at least someone who has been less than good to us. Someone who has done less than good for us. That we would much rather have responded in kind than by being kind. We have told our kids for years that they will accomplish far more and go further in life by being kind and doing good than by being mean and being nasty. And I hope that my kids have seen that modeled for them. My dad and I have talked recently about different places we've been, which is usually the doctor, and the interactions that we have with people, and how much better those interactions are when you're just kind. I've said before in messages on kindness that it's never the wrong time to do the kind thing. And Paul says to do good, to be kind, to be generous, to want good for others, and then find a way to do good, even when good hasn't been done to you. And being just as when we do good, we are thankful. We are more thankful when we do good. Does that make sense? It's the same kind of thing, like with peace. Peace requires being thankful, but peace leads to being thankful. Encouragement requires being thankful, and encouragement leads to being thankful. Doing good requires being thankful, and doing good leads to being thankful. Being thankful appears to Paul to be a big deal. And I don't think this is the only passage or part of the letter that he wrote that talks about being thankful, and I don't think these are the only ingredients to being thankful. But I got to tell you, I think if we could figure these out, we'd be a whole lot further down the path of being thankful than being grumpy. This has just popped into my head. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. There was a reason why the Grinch was a Grinch. And you remember in the story of the Grinch that when the Grinch became thankful and began to transition, the story tells us that his heart grew 3 sizes that day. And I think thankfulness does that. Thankfulness grows our hearts 3 sizes and makes it much easier to live at peace, to encourage others, and to do good. And when we do those things, we almost by default become more thankful. If being thankful in all circumstances is the dish, how do you do that? Amanda, would you either off of the PowerPoint or whatever, would you capture this image and this slide and post it out on social media, providing some context to this? Here's your Thanksgiving recipe ingredient list. And actually, there's going to be 2 slides on that, so you might have to squish them and make it one. this week, as we begin to transition from Thanksgiving to the Christmas season, the first Sunday of Advent, today, as we prepare for the coming of Christmas and the birth of Jesus and celebrating that, think about these questions. I mean, I'm asking you to take time to intentionally sit down and ask these questions about ways to be thankful in all circumstances. How can you live peacefully with those around you? How can you be an encouragement to those around you? How can you demonstrate patience with those around you? How can you do good for those around you? And then the next one is, how can you be thankful in all circumstances? So, for our family, it was important that our Thanksgiving meal included dishes that were made from our family recipes. You understand that. because it was the same for your family. What if life and the dish of being thankful in all circumstances had a recipe ingredient list, and you could look at ways to make that happen in your life? I think that not only would you have a good Thanksgiving weekend, which there's like 13 hours left in it, but I think heading into Christmas, you would find your heart growing 3 sizes during the Christmas season just by focusing on being thankful in, not for, in all circumstances. Let me pray for you this morning. Dear God, thank you for today. We are indeed thankful. Some of us may be thankful because it's Thanksgiving weekend and we have to be thankful. Help those of us who are thankful because we have to be, discover ways to be thankful because we want to be. Help us to find ways to live peacefully with those around us, to be an encouragement to those around us, to want good and to do good for those around us, and to be thankful in all circumstances. At the end of the day, no matter what our circumstances, we can find a way to be thankful that there is a God who loves us, who desires what's best for us, who has been patient with us, who has been an encouragement to us, and who has done far more good for us than we could ever imagine anyone ever doing. And if for nothing else, help us be thankful in that. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Haley and Heather are going to close this out with a special music piece. Are you going to dismiss them? Is there a preview video for next week? No? So when the song's done, just dismiss them. All right? Thanks.